Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
I wonder if you'd bow your head and pray for me and with me for just a moment. Holy God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for children who sing, and we give you thanks for parents and adults and all of us in here that get to enjoy that and just understand the beauty of your world as we see those children. We pray now, Lord, for this time of the sermon. We pray, Lord, that you would bless these words so that they would be your words and not mine, that together we might be transformed to love you more. And this I pray in the name of Christ. Amen. So two friends are walking across a field. It's a beautiful summer day. They're taking a walk across the field. They turn and they see an enraged bull. Not a good situation. So they see this bull, they look at each other, and they immediately sprint towards the nearest fence to obviously get out of the way of the bull. They're running as fast as they can, and as they're running, one guy turns to the other and says, Mark, you need to throw up a prayer for us. He looks at him and he says, I don't know how to pray in public. I've never done it before. And he says, Mark, you've got to. The bull is going to catch up to us. And Mark says, okay, I'll do it. I'll pray the prayer that my mother prayed. Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful. Okay, that's my Thanksgiving joke. Now I have a new one because everybody's heard it. But such a great prayer. It's just one line, really, but it's so powerful. Picture, if you will, upstate New York. I am there at my Uncle Ray and Aunt Vesta's house. My father's side of the family, we all gather together, and we're around this huge dining room table. I remember it was kind of a dark house, but the table was full of food. If a table could groan, this one would have groaned. It was that full. I was a little kid, so I'm sitting, and I'm kind of at eye level with the food. I'm thinking, this is going to be awesome. I can't wait. But you have to wait because first you have to say grace, right? So my Uncle Ray would kind of look around and make sure we were all there. And then he would stand up. I remember he always did this. He stood up. He held out his hands and he closed his eyes and he'd say, Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful. Amen. You notice he says, for what we are about to receive. It's not, oh God, give us food, I'm hungry. It's not, God, give us something. It's, no, what are we about to receive? It's all here. We have already been incredibly blessed with this bounty that's on the table. For what we are about to receive, make us not just thankful, but make us what? Truly thankful. So powerful. Make us truly thankful. I think that in just a couple of days, on Thursday of this week, we're all going to be sitting around tables that might even be groaning with food. And we're going to offer thanks. And we're going to be so grateful. You know, it's not even a Christian holiday, technically. Our forefathers might argue with that. But it's technically not a Christian holiday, but it's got Jesus all over it. Because one of the biggest values of our faith is thankfulness and giving thanks. I love Thanksgiving. All around the country, people will stop and focus on gratitude. We set aside an entire day just to do this. Gratitude, thankfulness, gratefulness. Paul says in Colossians, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. He says in Thessalonians, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. In Philippians, he goes on to say, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to be thankful. And we have this holiday where we get to be just thankful. I love Thanksgiving. Paul understood how important it was for us to be thankful, to have hearts that were full of gratitude. He also knew something else about us. He knew that often it is easier to edge towards grumbling than gratitude. So I thought that today we would talk about Paul and what he said, and maybe figure out how you and I can get to true thanksgiving. How can we have a true thanksgiving? See, Paul knew there was something in human nature that causes us to forget our thankfulness. We have an embarrassing tendency to express complaint more quickly than we express gratitude. In Philippians, it's obvious that Paul is familiar with this because he says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. That's pretty clear. Do everything. Everything without grumbling or arguing. And I thought, I've had all week to think about this, and I thought, everything? Do you suppose he meant everything without grumbling or arguing? Like, couldn't there be a few exceptions to the rule? But no, I do everything. Maybe it was an interpretation mistake. Maybe over the couple thousand years, it's been wrong. It's do most things without grumbling or arguing, but no. Do everything. So this week, as I said, I've been trying to live into that. I got up one day this week, cold and rainy, cold and rainy, cold and wet is often cause for grumbling, but because of this, I'm not going to grumble, right? So I get up, I go downstairs, I'm late for an appointment already, I realize I need to put the recycling out, so I pick up the recycling and I walk it out in the rain to the curb and I set it down, and instead of going around the puddle, I step in the puddle, so my shoe is soaking wet, but no grumbling, right? Okay, so fine. I think I could run upstairs. I've got townhouse, 3 floors. No, then I really will be late to the appointment. So I get in the car, wet shoe, no grumbling. I get and I drive. I'm about to pull out into traffic because we live on a street where I have to pull into a busy street. It would have gone a lot faster if the guy in front of me would have done a quicker job of this, but no grumbling, right? So I pull out and I drive, and I get to the doctor's office, and I get there just in time for the appointment, only to find out that the doctor is running late, right? No grumbling. So I go inside, I put my little gown on that's very thin and very cold, and I sit in a room that's cold, but no, right? Okay, so glad I'm doing this sermon. And then I think I can redeem the situation, right? I can redeem this. So I pull my phone out to do email, very efficient while you're in the doctor's office, and I hit the button, and you know what I see? It's going around. And I'm thinking, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And yes, grumbling. Just a little, and then it took like a full minute to connect, and I'm grumbling. Luckily I had time. And so as it took a minute to connect, I don't know if it was God or if it was my own awareness of this scripture, but somebody spoke to me and said, are you serious? You're grumbling. You who are sitting in a doctor's office, fully insured, waiting for somebody to walk into the room that is highly trained and will help you. You who drove here in a car that is completely paid for, on roads that are fully paved, with traffic lights that work all the time. You who left your house that you own and took your recycling out, which means you have food to eat, and you're sitting in here complaining because it took a minute to connect to the internet? The internet, this wondrously magical thing that allows me to keep in touch with my parents in Ohio, my friend in Alabama, and even my friends in Sierra Leone, Africa, in seconds. Grumbling. Do everything without grumbling. Thankfulness. Thankfulness needs to become our way of life. Step one on the road. Do everything without grumbling. If we're going to get to true thanksgiving, I think that Paul was really on to something. Now, you might say to me, what's so bad about a little grumbling? You're by yourself, right? Nobody else was in that room with me. Nobody was in the car with me. Is it really so bad to kind of vent a little bit, to get it out? Then maybe you won't bring it into other people? Grumbling is not productive. Grumbling just leads to more grumbling. It reflects a spirit of ingratitude. Grumbling chips away at the goodness of the natures that we were created with and replaces goodness with discontent. Grumbling hurts relationships. When we grumble, people we care about feel undervalued and unappreciated. When I am around a grumbler, I tend to step away. I can't change their grumbling because they're grumbling. It's not an issue of justice. It's not an issue of righteousness. Grumbling is whining for grown-ups. I can't fix it, so instead of stepping towards the person, I back away. We've been grumblers since the beginning of time. It's interesting, isn't it, that no matter what God gives, no matter what good gifts God gives, people will complain. They complained about Jesus. In the New Testament, the word for grumbling was often translated as murmuring. Murmuring, that's when you kind of go, I can't believe she's doing that. She's over there murmuring. You've heard murmurers, right? You might have even been a murmurer once or twice. You don't have to tell me that. The Pharisees murmured against Jesus because he ate and drank with tax collectors and prostitutes and all manner of sinners. Some of them even murmured when he healed a man who had been lame since birth on the Sabbath. They were not headed towards a true thanksgiving. They had turned off. They made the mistake of aligning themselves with the other grumblers. Jesus, on the other hand, was aligned with God. Step two, align yourself to God's view. Growing up, I was a lot like other kids. I loved to receive presents on December 25th, hated to write thank you notes on December 26th. But my parents were relentless. Their rule was, December 26th, you had to sit down at the table and write your thank you notes before you went to play with someone else, which we were ready to do by that point in time. Before you got to play with what you had been given, you had to write a thank you note. So I have a very clear memory of sitting at the kitchen table with a green tablecloth on with the thank you notes, the list of what I got, and I just did it because, like, I had no choice. I was not leaving until I wrote those thank you notes. So I would write, Dear Aunt Vesta, thank you very much for the gift. I very much appreciate it. I am very much looking forward to using it. Thank you very much. Love, Barbara. I had a very limited phraseology around thanking people. But I would do it, and I would kind of be ungrateful that I was doing it. My parents did the right thing in having me send thank you notes. But I didn't have the right spirit. I had a spirit of obligation, which led to a spirit of ingratitude. Until I was in junior high. I was in middle school, and I went to stay with my grandmother. She lived in upstate New York as well. And I would spend a week there, and it was the summer I was in seventh grade. I was 13 years old and not the most pleasant child to be around. But I was staying with her, and one day we sat down at the kitchen table. And she brought with her this tin box. It was about this big. It was a good-sized tin box with decorations on it, like tooled into it. And she set it down, and she said, I want to show you what's in here. In it was every letter I had ever sent her. Every letter one of my cousins had sent her. Every letter that my parents or my cousin's parents had written something about us was in the box. And she opened it up and she said, I wanted to show you this. She said, when I'm by myself and you are all far away, I take these out and read them. and I think of you and how much I love you. Know that whenever you write me, your letter will go in this box, and I will be so grateful to read whatever you want to write. I was so humbled by that. Even at 13, she made me want to be a better person because I knew that my letter would go in the box and she would think of me with love. I wanted my actions to be worthy of the box. I wanted to align myself with her love. Before she showed me the box, I was in danger of falling into the black hole of ungratefulness. I was so focused on what I wanted and when I wanted that I never stopped to think about how I was affecting others, even my beloved grandmother. You know, the closer you get to a black hole, the harder it is to get out of it. I know this, of course, because I have watched Star Trek movies. There is always the moment when the crew suddenly realizes that the space anomaly is not just a space anomaly, it's a black hole, and they're in danger of falling into it and being lost forever in the space-time continuum. If somebody doesn't help them, if Scotty doesn't do some magic with the engines, they will fall past the event horizon and be forever lost. The nature of the black hole is it starts smaller, but as it expands, things just fall into it, and it gets bigger and it gets bigger. Everything disappears. It just becomes dark in that part of space. In the movies, there's always some heroic effort that frees the ship at the last possible minute, and it goes away, and it always stretches out a little bit, and then off it goes. When we get caught up with grumbling, we are in danger of falling into the black hole of discontent. But here's the good news. Gratitude is our heroic effort. Gratitude shines a light into the darkness of discontent. Step three is see the light. My grandmother was the light. Paul continues in Philippians, he says, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will, read this with me, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Don't you want to shine like a star? My grandmother did. The light of her love reflected on me and caused me to want to shine like a star. A spirit of gratitude allows us to push against the black hole of the world with the light of God's love. And that takes you to step four. Be the light. There is a company in the United States that does an excellent job of helping us understand gratitude. This time of year, the commercials start up a little bit. They tell you a story in 2 or 3 minutes. Generally, I'm crying at everyone. Do you know which company I speak of? Hallmark. Hallmark, yes, everybody knows this. So I found a Hallmark commercial. It's older, it's a little bit crackly, it's a little bit hard to see. However, I think it's perfect for this. So take a look at this.
Professor Foley?
Yes?
You wouldn't remember me. My name is Beth Hooper. I was a student of yours a while ago.
My apologies. I hope I didn't ruin your entire life.
No. No. In fact, I always wanted to come back and tell you. Well, I heard you were retiring, so I...
Hooper, where do you stand on bonsai trees?
Bonsai trees.
I was thinking I might start raising bonsai trees now.
Oh. Well, anyway, I just came by to give you something.
Of course, my father always wanted me to be a physician. I'll never find my glasses in all of this. I'm afraid you're going to have to do the honors.
Who in their life hasn't planted a seed just hoping that somehow something would grow? You may not remember all the things that you've done, but everywhere around you, seeds are growing and people are blooming. I know. I'm one of them.
Birth order and early childhood development.
That's right. That was me. That was my paper.
Good work, Hooper. Thank you. So, Hooper, what did you grow up to be? Investment banker? Internet guru?
No. I'm a teacher.
Every time I watch a Hallmark commercial, I get misty-eyed. They know something. They know something. In 3 minutes, they can take me out. Think about what that meant to him. I know he was an actor, but there are real people like that. There are real teachers, teachers who give their lives day after day, pouring themselves into student after student, and then one day, it's the last day, and he's picking up his office, and he's putting things in boxes, and he's clearing out files, and he's wondering, did I make any difference? All these years that I've invested, and it comes down to a few boxes of mementos I'm going to carry out of here. And then she walks in. She walks right into his sadness and the fading hope of his last day, and she shines. Just a little at first. A small beam of light that grows with each word, and as she leaves, the whole office is glowing with the stuff of stars. He puts the card on top of his last box, and he picks it up, and he walks to the door, and he reaches over, and for the last time, he turns out the light. But he's not leaving in darkness. He's leaving in the light of her gratitude. It makes a difference. Gratitude transforms us. It transforms those around us. Gratitude causes us to bring a fresh air, a fresh wind into a world that can often get caught up in darkness and grumbling and complaint. Gratitude, gratefulness, giving thanks, these are the things that fill our lives with joy. Paul writes in Colossians, be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, song from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Gratitude allows the gentleness and the peace of Christ to flourish inside of us. When we let Christ dwell among us, within us, we can't help but be grateful. Jesus knew what it was to live in gratitude. He grew up being grateful, offering blessings. John Ortberg writes about how every devout Jewish person had two daily forms of prayer in their life. One was the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Every day they would say that. If you were a devout Jewish person, every day you would say that. The other form of prayer was called the 18, or the 18 benedictions. Benediction is a Latin word. It means bene, good, dictions, words. So they are good words. In Hebrew, a benediction was any prayer that began with the word bless. To bless is to speak good to somebody else. They always wanted to speak good, to bless, to thank God, and they would do this constantly. In the morning, when they woke up, they would pray, blessed are you, God. At night, before they went to bed, they would pray, blessed are you, God. In the middle of the day, they would pause and they would pray, blessed are you, Lord, who heals the sick. They'd remember, I have a body, and I've been sick, and God has been with me. Blessed are you, God, who sustains the living and raises the dead. I have hope. Blessed are you, O God, King of the universe, who created the world. I live in a world that God created. They were training for gratitude. They loved doing this in their own way. When rabbis were trying to teach, what the rabbis were trying to teach, what Jesus, the greatest rabbi of all, was trying to teach, was that gratitude comes when you acknowledge blessings. Every rabbi would teach his disciples how to pray in their own way. So you remember in the Gospels, the disciples turn to Christ and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. How should we pray? What is our way of praying this? And Jesus said, pray like this, Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. We still pray that today. Gratitude was everywhere. Every meal was an opportunity to give thanks. Nothing was eaten until you stopped and remembered that it was a gift. You were not asking God for food. The food was already there. You were offering God a good word, a blessing, in deep gratitude. You remember the gospel writers talked about the Last Supper, and Jesus took bread and he gave thanks to God, and then he offered it to his disciples. And then he took the cup and he gave thanks to God and he offered it to his disciples. Every single thing he gave thanks for. He would pick it up, I imagine, and he would say, this too? I get this too? Thank you, God. Blessed are you. Imagine what Thanksgiving might be like. Imagine Thanksgiving dinner if we thanked God for every dish. Okay, maybe not like my Uncle Ray standing up and saying it, but maybe if you get past, thank you, God, for mashed potatoes. Thank you, God, for corn pudding. Thank you, God, for pumpkin pie. Thank you, God, for Brussels sprouts. You don't have to like them, but you can be grateful God created them because somebody likes Brussels sprouts. What if everything we picked up and ate and passed, we said, thank you, God. Blessed are you, God of the universe. We are the recipients of so much goodness. I'm not naive. I'm not blind. I know the world is difficult. I know bad things happen. But what I know is I need to stop and think of the gifts that I have already received. The ones right in front of me. I pray that God will make me truly thankful. My challenge to you this week is to be truly thankful. Not a hard one, not a hard task, especially this week, but it takes thoughtfulness and intentionality. Remember those guys at the beginning, they're running away from the bull. Lord, what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful. Even in the hard times, what if we said that? What if every morning you get up and you say, oh God, for what I am about to receive, make me truly thankful. And then you won't be alone. You will remember that the God of grace, the God of love, the God of power, the God of might, the God of the resurrection will be with you. Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful. Blessed are you, O God, King of the universe. I pray that your Thanksgiving is full of that. Amen.